I'm Carrie Nolan. It's Monday, June 13th, and time for WQXR's Washington Report Online. David Sanger joins us now, this week from Seoul, South Korea. He's the chief Washington correspondent for The New York Times. Good morning, David.
Morning, Carrie.
David, you're reporting this morning that the U.S. Navy intercepted a North Korean ship suspected of carrying missile parts to Myanmar, which used to be known as Burma. Why Myanmar?
Well, great question, Carrie, and we think it's because the Burmese are building up a fairly hefty collection of short-range missiles, missiles that could go maybe 300 miles or so. But exactly why is something of a mystery, other than the fact that they are almost as closed and isolated a regime, and some might say paranoid a regime, as the North Koreans themselves. The more that the world has cut down on North Korea's ability to ship missiles out around the world, and certainly there's a lot of concern about, say, their trade with Iran, the more important the link between Myanmar and North Korea has become to the North Koreans. It's a source of tens of millions of dollars in annual revenue.
How was the ship intercepted?
Well, Carrie, it's an interesting tale because it happened about 2 weeks ago, and the U.S. government said nothing publicly about it until this past weekend. The ship was tracked leaving Nampo in North Korea. Presumably, the U.S. watched it either with surveillance planes or satellites. And they saw that the ship itself was under the flag of Belize, because the North Koreans frequently don't fly their own flag in order to reduce suspicions. The Washington called Belize, got permission to board the ship, and then flagged the ship down on the high seas. The North Koreans refused to let anybody board, and the U.S. did not want to take the risk of doing a forcible boarding that could result in a firefight and a conflict. So they just stayed right on top of the ship, and within about a day or so, the North Koreans decided to stop the ship, turn it around, and send it back home.
We saw two North Korean attacks on the South last year, but it's been quiet so far this year. Are there theories about what's changed?
Well, the main theory is that the Chinese have squeezed the North Koreans. Of course, China provides about 70% of the country's food and its fuel, and said that they've had it with these attacks. There are about 50 South Koreans who were killed in last year's two different attacks. But, you know, these attacks are frequently the product of what's happening inside North Korea's own power struggle, particularly as Kim Jong-il's son, Kim Jong-un, tries to demonstrate his own authority so that he can take over for his father, who's been quite ill. And so we really don't know whether or not there will be another attack, or if so, how much it may be linked to Kim Jong-un just trying to demonstrate that he's in charge.
Here at home, there's one big issue about Asia you hear all the time. Competition from China is taking American jobs. But the Chinese seem to have their own set of worries all of a sudden, the prospect of slower growth. Which side has more to worry about?
Well, they both got a lot to worry about. The Chinese believe that they need to be growing between 6 and 8% a year. Just think about that, 6 or 8% a year, in order to create enough new jobs to employ the people who keep coming out of the countryside and to the coastal cities in China. And that growth is beginning to slow down. China's got its own housing bubble. It's beginning to crack. You're beginning to see prices decline, which is ending a lot of speculation in China over real estate. And the leadership is quite concerned that if the economy slows enough, they're going to have real social and political problems. Now, to unemployed Americans, that really isn't much of a concern, and just getting the U.S. back to, say, regular 3% growth is something the U.S. is looking for to create jobs itself. So it's very much a zero-sum game competition right now, although politicians on both sides of the Pacific would deny it, about where the growth happens.
While we're on the subject of jobs, President Obama has been on the campaign trail trying to stay optimistic as unemployment rises and the stock market falters. Is this only politics, or is there some reason for optimism?
Well, I think that there is a hope that, like last summer, when growth also slowed, things could pick up and turn around fairly quickly. The difficulty is that everybody now is beginning to accept the fact that American jobs that were lost during this recession, they're not all coming back. And it could take years to get back to a full employment position. Some say as late as 2020. Now, that all depends on how quickly growth does resume. And if that's the case, President Obama is going to face a very different situation than the one he expected. He thought that if he came into office during the midst of a recession, there was a pretty good chance that a high growth period would be on 4 years after that. Now there's some reason to question whether or not that was the right assumption.
Thanks a lot, David.
Thank you, Carrie.